Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Hey, everybody out there. This is Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and this is Attention Talk Radio. We're very excited tonight. We have a great show, Crushing Your ADD, Stories Behind the Scenes, and with us in our virtual studio is ADD Crusher himself, Alan Brown. Real quickly, today is June the 20th in the year 2012 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My sidekick, Kirsten Milliken, has left me for dead. She's out of the country right now in Guatemala or Haiti or Brazil or China. I don't know what she's doing, but she's having a heck of a good time. So, Kirsten, if you're out there and you can listen to the show, man, I'm missing you because I need you back here to help me out in the on the storefront. But that aside, again, I'm real excited tonight. This has been an interesting show in the making. I actually met Alan Brown at the ACO conference, actually the first time I actually met Kirsten face-to-face, and instantaneously I knew this guy was something special, and he was quite a character. And in order to understand his character, you got to understand that he is quite a character. And so tonight we're going to kind of get into behind-the-scenes stories because I think, number one, he's an interesting guy. A little bit of a – well, we'll talk about, like, the bottom to the top time transformation. And what's interesting to me is in talking with him is his road to success is actually kind of been validated, I think, by a lot of the hosts that we have and some of the theories that we've had on board. So let me get through announcements real quick. Actually, Alan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jeff.
Hey, this is I've been looking forward to this. This is going to be a lot of fun. So my first announcement real quick is the 2012 CHAD conference is coming up in November, the 8th to the 10th in San Francisco, California. And it's not too early to start booking your reservations and sign up. And you can do so by going to chadd.org. And, Alan, will you be out there for this?
I'm going to be there with bells on. I'm going to have a corner booth there.
You a corner booth. Save a seat for me, all right?
Okay.
Also, for our listeners out there, you can go to attentiontalkradio.com and get great information, but it's actually the easiest place to navigate and find out what's going on with us is actually go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. Literally everything is there. You can access our archive shows. You can see upcoming episodes. You can actually listen to the show live. You can sign up for our newsletter. So if you don't want to go to the website all the time to find out what shows are coming up, you can actually have it emailed to you twice a month, and it's really easy. But again, that's at attentiontalkradio.com. Facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. And you also can go there and actually see us doing some posts back and forth every once in a while with the ADD Crusher because they got a lot of great content. I know you would agree, right, Alan?
Oh, I totally agree.
Let me give you a little bit of background on Alan first. Before diagnosis and treatment, which didn't come until he was an adult, Alan was in many ways an unmitigated mess with booze, drugs, and massive underachievement. He was an irresponsible space case. But after he was diagnosed with ADHD, he sought to develop strategies that would allow him to live to his potential. Now a successful investor and entrepreneur, thanks to ADD Crusher strategies honed over the last few decades. And that's what's really cool tonight is to hear how to talk about what he's done in his life organically that led him to the creation of ADD Crushers. And what I hope to do tonight is be able to talk about some of this stuff and weave in and actually talk about some of our past guests who have really, I'm not so sure he was conscious at the time, but realized that's a real foundation of the success of the program. But he shares them with fellow ADDers over who seek higher productivity and greater fulfillment. And Alan can be found at addcrusher.com where the Crusher approach provides interactive videos and tools to help build mental strength and open doors to unlimited potential. And I also want to make you aware he's got a great, great interactive Facebook page. And that's facebook.com/ is it ADD Crusher?
Yes, it is. Got a great community there.
A very good interactive community with a lot of fun stuff, and I'm gonna quiz him on this a little bit later. But he's very good with visual type stuff. But I guess to kind of kick things off, Alan, let's kind of go back to the beginning. Tell me about who you were, kind of growing up, and some of the issues that you faced, so people get a sense of your background.
Well, I was a classic undiagnosed ADD-er, class clown. Didn't do that well in school, but because I was kind of a charmer and I was a fairly smart kid, I got by. Of course, until I got to college, and that's where the real academic work begins, and then everything fell apart, and I was in and out of college for 10 years. But I also, like a lot of undiagnosed ADDers, I was escaping with alcohol. I was medicating myself with drugs, and I was engaged in very, very risky behavior. I was dealing drugs to put myself through college, for one thing, which, well, of course, led to addiction to the drugs. Also, I was engaged in some crime and a lot of other stupid things that, frankly, if I were to get into the non-G-rated version of this story, you'd be scratching your head wondering why the heck I'm alive here. But that's the foundation of it.
Well, it's interesting. We did a show about 2 weeks ago with Dr. David Nall about dopamine. And the gist of it was to pay attention to how dopamine feels because it's the reward system. And I believe you listened to that show. Is that accurate?
I did. And I tell you, just a lot of bells went off for me listening to that show. I'll tell you one in particular. He talks about, you can get a dopamine rush from alcohol, or he didn't use this example, but from casual sex or some other stupid thing, but you will later regret it. And the trick is, and this is just my interpretation, the trick is to find things that jack up your dopamine in a good way so that down the road you can look back at it and say, yes, that was a good thing. But that was a great interview, and he inspired a blog for me, so I'm probably going to do a blog on it.
Well, I'll be anxious to kind of hear that. You know, what's interesting to me is that in my coaching practice, I work with those with ADHD, and I have this thing called the interest model, because you always want brain stimulation. There's pure passion, which is the good things, and then there's disinterest. But when you're not interested, you'll seek what I call fool's interest, which is anything that is instant brain stimulation, which is like sex, pornography, gambling, acts of daring, drugs, eating, et cetera. And when I listen to your history of, like, the drugs and everybody I've had a conversation with beforehand, he likes fast things, let's just put it that way, and he's not very good with them. But those are all situations where I got to believe you get a little bit of a dopamine rush as a result of it to feed that mind that craves it.
Absolutely. And I actually wrote in my notes while I was listening to this to learn more about your interest model, because indeed the fool's interest is exactly those things, like alcohol, casual sex, other just stupid things that don't have a long-term benefit for you.
So you went through that stuff, and it had to have a negative effect. I mean, it couldn't have gotten you anywhere positive if you're doing that. You're in college. You're kind of getting through that stuff. And if I'm not mistaken, you were like, it took you 10 years to graduate?
Yes, I was on the 10-year plan. I guess I am fortunate, first of all, to have survived a lot of the stupid things that I did. I mean, I was going to Harlem in the depths of the crack epidemic and buying felony amounts of cocaine to sell it. And, we're talking about going into an abandoned tenement building that you walk six stories up on broken stairs, and then you enter an apartment that is empty except for a table, a guy with a gun, and a scale with the drugs. And then getting into, on the way back to New Jersey, getting into a car with a missing license plate, no insurance, no registration. Talk about, stupid risk-taking behavior.
Doing all that stuff at the time, I'm hearing that you're kind of feeding that urge, that satisfaction. I mean, it had to have been a thrill in that to get away with it, at least.
Well, it was indeed a thrill. And actually, coming back to your original question, I at least had the wits to, the luck to not get caught, which some of my friends did get caught. But to have the luck to not get caught, and also the wits to know that ultimately I had to get the college degree. And so I actually began medicating myself with the drugs, and I don't want to make this sound like this is a recommendation for drugs, but it acted like Ritalin for me because I was able to actually study. The downside, of course, is I became addicted to it, and I had to go into recovery. But I was able to at least stay on track, even though it was a very slow and arduous and ugly track, and finish school and then get a real job at an ad agency at the age of 29.
Wow.
Entry-level.
Well, there's two things I want to comment. One is we did a show a couple months ago with Dr. David Teplin talking, which came first, ADHD or substance abuse, because in his practice, if somebody comes in and they have ADD, he automatically screens them for substance abuse, and if they come in for substance abuse, he automatically screens them for ADD. And in a weird sense, you're like a poster child for that. You had ADD, but you had the substance abuse, and then got diagnosed later, which we'll get to in a second, which helps, I guess, in the process of just trying to manage the two. Is that accurate?
Yes, and in fact, the doctor that diagnosed me 15 years ago, I was very upfront about my personal history. And he was able to discern that I was probably an ADD-er based on my story, and he was the one who informed me that I was medicating myself with narcotics. He, at first, as a result, was hesitant to prescribe some drugs, ADD drugs, because he was worried about my becoming addicted or abusing those drugs. As time went on, he came to know me, and I basically had the same prescription to Ritalin for 15 years without it ever going up or down.
Interesting. Now, it's kind of funny. We did a show with Dr. Parker back last November talking about dialing in the drugs a little bit, and he talked about all the things that impact the stimulants actually doing their work. There's the intestinal system. There's the metabolic system and stuff, because if they have to go through the body, if you will, to kind of get to the brain. And it's interesting. I might have to have him on and ask him, you know, if you've had drugs over a period of time, does that impact things over a period of time? And, you know, do you need higher or lesser amounts? Because it just seems to me that might have an impact over time over your brain chemistry and what may or may not work. I got a question for you before we go to the break, and that was, as you said a second ago, is you had the wits to not get caught. Tell me about that a little bit. What is it about you that enables you to, I guess, be intuitive enough or street smart enough to know what to do to not get caught?
Well, actually, it was two things. It was, one, having the luck to not get caught.
Okay.
But also the wits to not get caught. I somehow had a regulator on me that kept me from going one step too far. There were certain things that some of the people I was hanging around with were willing to do that I wasn't. But still, by all rights, I should have been caught. And if I got caught for any of a number of the things that I was doing, I would not be sitting in this very nice chair with a nice view today talking with you.
Well, you know, there's one thing. I'm going to come back to the wits thing after the break a little bit, because there's one thing about those with ADHD is their intuition that fascinates me, and the ability to pay attention to what's kind of going on, like what they're thinking, where they are, as if it's an out-of-body experience. They can see what's kind of going on, and they kind of run through scenarios in their mind about what other people might react to that situation. It's interesting to me. Some of them very clever with what they come up with. But before we go to the break, Alan, for those who want to get in contact with you or learn a little bit more about what's kind of going on, what would you say the best way to do that is?
Oh, I'll tell you what. Come to our Facebook page. We've got 22,500 fans. I think we've got the coolest adult ADHD community on the planet. I know it is the biggest in the U.S., and I think it might even be the biggest in the world, although there might be one in the Netherlands that's bigger. But it's a great place where you come, post something on the wall, tell us what you think of the interview, tell us what you think of the videos if you happen to get your hands on those, and just it's a wonderful, supportive community that's been going on for a couple of years now.
And while you're posting, if you've got any great ideas for us to do on our radio show, post them out there and come to us too, because I'd love to hear about it. So, Alan, with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
There's a new tool ADHD coaches across the country are recommending to their clients, and it's not a book, a dietary supplement, or a brain scan. It's the ADD Crusher video series, ADD-friendly, highly entertaining tools that are guaranteed to get results. And for a limited time, Attention Talk Radio listeners get 15% off. Go to ADDCrusher.com and use code ATR15 to start crushing your ADD right now.
ADD Crusher, 5 ways, 5 minutes a day. Crush your ADD.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got the ADD Crusher himself, Alan Brown, and we're talking about crushing your ADD, stories behind the scenes. Alan, I want to transition to a little bit. We've talked a little bit about your past and the craziness that went on, but there's two things I want to touch base before we start to transition on how you pull things together. One is I hear the judges that are lined up along the turnpike scored 8.5 and nines for the 360s that you did in some cars while driving down the turnpike. Can you tell us just a little bit about that?
Well, I love that. That was a very cool interpretation on your part. But having the judges standing alongside a turnpike rating my 360s, yes, we know that the research says that ADDers are much more likely to be in car accidents than non-ADDers, and particularly adolescents and teens. I am no exception. I literally have banged up or totaled every single car I have owned. I won't say that I've borrowed, because I rent a lot of cars for my business travel, and I haven't cracked up any of those yet. But to give you an example, in addition to the 360s that I managed to do in the middle of the – one was in the middle of the Jersey Turnpike, one was in the middle of the Parkway, very busy highways. But I managed to dent the roofs on two cars. One of them you could certainly understand. I guess you must have rolled one over. Well, I did. Had to climb up through the passenger door. But the other one, I'll let you try and imagine how you dent the roof on a car without rolling it. But it's great. I've also cracked up 8 of the 10 motorcycles I've owned, although in the last 5-6 years I've only crashed on a racetrack, which is the only smart place to crash a motorcycle. I actually just crashed one just a month or so ago, and got it out of the shop, and I'm ready to go crash it again.
Yeah,
but
it sounds like it points
to
a
big difference between stupid risk-taking and worthy risk-taking. And we'll get into this in a little bit, because there are lessons learned from all of our ADHD horror stories. And most of we ADDers, even if they might not be as graphic or as criminally oriented as mine, we've all got deep regrets, bad things we did, underperformance, et cetera. But there are lessons to be drawn from this. And there is stupid risk-taking, like getting into a car when you're drunk, and there is potentially worthy risk-taking, which can be, and I'm now tying back to Dr. Nowell with the dopamine. I race motorcycles because this is like nirvana to me. This is therapy. This is something that gives me complete peace.
Uh-huh.
Doing 160 miles an hour is just, that's just, you know, the bee's knees for me. But that is, for me, an acceptable risk that I can look back on a year from now. Even the major crashes that I've had where I've been laid up for a while, I still look back on those and say, that was a worthy risk. That was not a stupid risk like
yep.
getting drunk and wrapping yep. a car around a telephone pole.
Yep. Well, you know, I have to tell you, there's two things. I'll share this. Years ago, I used to be in the insurance business, and I actually did some work with NASCAR, and they took me on a hot lap. And I got to tell you, I wasn't able to drive, but they put me in a car with a guy, and we went around the Daytona Speedway at 150. And I got to tell you, it's a rush. It's an absolute rush. Whether you have ADD or not, and I can understand why you dig this. So I got one last thing I want to cover till we start moving in transition. And this is a big deal because I understand that you went through your academia without really reading a book cover to cover. Is that right?
Pretty much. I think you have a similar library to mine at home.
As a matter of fact, I wanted to compare libraries of books read because I actually have read a couple books cover to cover. My favorite is One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish.
I don't know if I made it all the way through that, but go ahead. What's another?
And then there's Go Dog Go, right? And when I got to high school, I ventured out. I actually read Charlotte's Web and Animal Farm, only because Animal Farm, it's a 100-page book, but the book that I had was about 500 pages. It had lots of pictures. And it was the only thing that can enthrall me or interest me for a period of time was the pictures to read through and imagine what was kind of going on, because for those who listen, reading is not my thing, which, by the way, everybody out there, I would love to have you on the show. You can send me your book. But I'm not going to read it. I need the cliff notes to it because it's just not my thing.
I totally hear you, and my library is maybe a little bit more expansive than yours. But I'll tell you, this is, when you talk about a book with pictures, this is, when I was diagnosed by a very cool and prominent psychiatrist in New York named Dr. Ira Bergman, and my hats are off to him always, as soon as I was diagnosed, I ran to the bookstore, and I started looking for books on ADHD. I thought, oh, let me learn about this.
Yep.
Let me learn some strategies. And I flipped through all these books, and they're like 400 pages. And I'm like, I can't read these. So I go back. The next time I went to see Dr. Bergman, I sat down with him, and I brought him this pop-up book that I had. It was a pop-up book of phobias. I still have it. It's very cool. And I put it down on the table in front of him, and I opened it up, and I said, Dr. Bergman, you and I are going to write a book. We're going to do a pop-up book for adult ADDers. And each of these pop-ups, and you know the books I'm talking about where you open up and a big circus pops up, right?
Yep, yep.
So I said, we are going to do one where you're going to have 10 different pop-ups, and each one is going to be a solution or a strategy for managing your ADD. And he, of course, he's a psychiatrist. He's not an entrepreneur. And he just kind of looked at me and said, here, Alan, here's your prescription.
Be on your way.
This was the vision that I clung to because I couldn't get any strategies out of books. And I know there are many great, great books that I've been able to get some stuff out of. But I had to formulate my own strategies on my own, which, by the way, listening to your archives is great because I am hearing things from these experts, and I go, oh, that's my so-and-so strategy. So
yep,
it's great
yep.
to hear these experts that you have in your archives talk about things. But bottom line, this is what inspired the videos. I wanted to create something for adults with ADHD that they could sit down and look at and not have to read and just interact with and have fun, but still learn something and be able to take action away from it, create habits, and really change their lives.
And everybody out there, listen, I need to pause right now. I have the ability. I've just made an adjustment. We have some people on the line, and we have some people in the chat room. The show is scheduled for 45 minutes. We're likely to go over. When we're going to do that, I'm going to let you know. You can go back an hour to the archives and move 45 minutes ahead. You can catch the end of it because this is just way too good, Alan. So forgive me for everybody out there. If I go in and make the adjustment to an hour, I'll do some changes. So just that's a programming note. But, you know, Alan, what's interesting to me is for me, because I'm not a book reader, and I found YouTube to be wonderful. I go there all the time to figure some stuff out because it's interactive, it's engaging and stuff like that, and I'm hearing it's there. And what I really enjoy about the stuff that you do, because I don't really do a lot of product-type stuff or the background of it. You know, this is what's fascinating to me is the story of you is the development of it And as we've talked, there's so many things in the shows that we're doing that are kind of like supporting how you end up getting there. But one of the things that I got to tell you is really cool is the interactive part of what you do. And I'm going to give you an example because I watched one of your videos, and there's a part, everybody, where you're watching the video, and he's like, I forget the details of it, but it's basically you need to get a pencil and paper. And he says, if you need to pause this, hit pause and go get it. And the cool part about the video, and all of a sudden a pause button comes up. It's actually live and it's moving, but it looks like it's paused. Like, dude, get up and go get the stuff. And it's very inspiring to me, and it's very simplistically, like, the time is now. Get up and do it. Don't procrastinate it. And it's interesting to me because you talk about this pop-up book concept. It seems to me that you have incarnated it in a visual form, which also, if you go to his website, what I love about it is how he takes concepts and gets pictures and uses that as a filter to kind of help you see what's going on. It's just absolutely amazing. And I would like to use that as a transition. I got to believe that that's a talent that you have in the way that you see the world. So can you talk about that and talk about your transition from the derelict, crazy person to the transformation that's taken place over the last couple of years and made you what you are today?
Well, first, thank you for the very kind words about the website. And also, we do the same thing on the Facebook page where we use images to really bring home an idea, and those images get great responses. We had something with 400 shares just the other day by virtue of this great image and the strategy that went with it. But, you know, to your question, I think the first thing for ADDers to do, particularly whether you were undiagnosed well into adulthood or have been diagnosed all along, there are four lessons to draw from a dark past such as mine, or even if it's not as dark as mine, that can help propel you into the future. One is understand your past. Understand why you did what you did. I now know why I cracked up so many cars. I know why I drank to excess. I was escaping. I know why I became addicted to cocaine. I was medicating myself and trying to get myself through college. And I also know why I took risks, doing stupid things in Harlem, doing stupid criminal things that luckily I knew a lot of the local cops who would come up to me and say, hey, Al, we know you're doing something. We know what you're doing. Cut it out. So that's part of the way, I guess, besides the luck, that I was able to not get caught. But I now understand why I did those things, and I now can channel, for instance, risk-taking into a positive way. Example, 10 years ago or so, I quit a six-figure job with a nice title at one of the biggest ad agencies in the country after being named Employee of the Year. Had it made. I quit that job to do a startup with two partners. We had no money. We had, frankly, no product, but don't tell anybody that. and really, all we had was kind of a dream. And this was, by the way, right after the dot-com bubble burst. Well, that was a huge risk, but it was a smart one. And we sold that company 7 years later for over $10 million. So
wow.
There's a between stupid risks and, you know, worthy risks. The next lesson is come to terms with your past. You know, I spent a long time regretting the whole decade of my 20s. And I've learned to see it as part of the quilt that, you know, this colorful quilt that makes up my life history. And, in fact, here I am being able, you and I can sit here and joke about this stuff. And I enjoy that. I like telling the stories because they inform who I am. They inform the fact that I survived it. And they also remind me of why I did all this stuff. The third thing is use the painful memories as forward-moving fuel. And this is akin to Dr. Nowell's. You've got to listen to that show. It's a fantastic show. I think it was from June 6th. And again, I'm going to do a blog on that. It's very cool. But, you know, he talks about having a positive vision for something that can help jack up your dopamine and get you motivated to do it. Well, I also have, and in the videos, this is actually way two in video one. It's called Nagging Desire. Get a Nagging Desire. There are two nags. A negative nag is one where you look back on all the things that you despise about your past, and I've got plenty of them. And when I look back at them, I think, I am never going back to that. I am going to propel myself as far away from that nightmare as I can. That's a negative nag, and that gets my dopamine going. Then there's, of course, a positive nag, which is as Dr. Now describes it. Then the fourth lesson you can learn from a dark or underachieving past is, and I'm reiterating a little bit, this is where you've got to understand that we ADDers have typically this risk-taking, stimulation-seeking gene, and see the difference between what, Jeff, you call, I think it's a fool's interest.
Yes.
Right? In pursuing that, you know, in letting that risk-taking gene go. Don't let it go to sitting around and, I don't want to say sitting around, but getting up and doing something stupid. Use that risk-taking gene to do something entrepreneurial or something adventuresome that is a healthy way of expanding who you are.
You know, I got to tell you something. What I'm hearing as I listen to this, and reflecting back on the shows that we've done, you talked a little bit about the David Nowell show we did on dopamine. But we also did a show with Dr. Russell Barkley in March about his concept of executive function deficit disorder, and he talked about the six thinking tools in that process. And when I listened to Dr. Nowell and I listened to Dr. Barkley, and interestingly aside, we did a negative self-talk thing a couple days later with Deborah Burdick, is that it's that thinking about what you're thinking thing really kind of dials you in, because if you notice that you are prone to things because it just gives you a rush, and as Dr. Barkley said, is that paying attention to what you're paying attention to. You have to listen to the show because there's the pause, and he talks about in order to inhibit your natural stuff, you have to be aware of it, and there's this negative self-talk and stuff on top, or what he calls mind mirrors, and forgive me, everybody. Go listen to the show. It's a really good show. It's a spectacular show. That what I'm hearing about this is, and what's really cool with you, is you have the ability to pay attention to what was going on, or to have the wit, if you will, back when you were having trouble with the law, to do it a certain way and not get caught, and have the notion of what's kind of going on here and say, listen, I can kind of do this a different way, which is really, I'm hearing that's an essence of really kind of what has really kind of propelled you forward. And forgive me for being all over the place, but I know you listened to a few of the shows. Can you comment on that a little bit?
Yeah, actually, two things. I have listened to it. It was a while. In fact, I listened to it just before the ACO conference, the ADHD Coaches Organization conference, where I met you. But I listened to most of it. I wasn't able to listen to all of it. So I'm going to go back and listen to it. Who knows? It's probably going to get another blog out of me. But two things. One, he's touching on what you always talk about, Jeff, which is pay attention to what you're paying attention to, which is, you know, I've got to get more into that mindset, and it's because that's got other ramifications, like being more present, being more accepting, but also being more effective, focused on the right stuff. But also, it's in this realm that Barkley is talking about, because he ranges pretty widely in it, and I don't know all of his teaching in this particular area, but, you know, he talks about, and I even quote him in the video, he talks about emotion giving you the motivational fuel that ADDers otherwise lack, and it tied back into what I call the nagging desire. So, yeah, I see a great connection to what Barkley is saying.
And everybody, I did two shows with Dr. Barkley. One, it was this last March of 2012 about his executive function deficit disorder, and he talks about layers of thinking. He's got this new construct about ADHD. It's not really attention, it's self-regulation. But a year before that, in the same March, we did a thing on emotion. I encourage you, if this is ringing true to you, go back and listen to it. I'm getting a text and I'm getting an email, and I think I got a special guest on here. Alan, do you have a minute? Can we divert for a second?
Absolutely. In fact, I'm going to go plug in my computer because I'm running low on battery. So bring him on, or her on, whoever.
Well, hang on a second. Can you listen to this as I bring him on?
No, I'm not going away. I just need to.
All right. So I think I've got your. I'm Mr. Attention, right?
Yeah.
And I think I've hit a 518 area code. That would be David Gwert, the man of intention. Are you there, Dave?
I am.
And, of course, I'm talking to Alan Brown, the man of detention.
Oh, and I love Alan. I think he's a great guy, and I love you, Jeff. And I think it's very interesting because we talk about Barkley and the ability to pause and pay attention, which is inhibition, the ability to self-regulate so that we can become self-aware. And I know that when I was a kid, I would much rather have paused to pay attention to an intention of going to detention because the subject in front of me was so damn boring. So I was very aware of what detention meant, and I chose to go to detention rather than pay attention to an intention of boredom because the teachers around me didn't understand what my brain needed. So, you know, detention can be conscious or unconscious, but the bottom line is what you and Alan were talking about is so critical because self-awareness cannot occur without the ability to self-regulate. So we have to be able to identify the signals that allow us to inhibit, which is the fancy word for pausing. It all starts with the power of the pause. So when you pause to pay attention to what you're paying attention to and the intention is something better, a better alternative, well, for me, when I was in school at a young age, even into some of my high school years, my intention was better served in a detention because the principal did some very creative things with me.
Well, it's interesting because earlier we were talking about Alan when he didn't know he had ADD, and he spent a lot of time in detention.
Yep.
But what was really kind of cool is he was witty enough about paying attention to what was kind of going on to kind of keep himself out in a few different situations.
Yeah.
And as we kind of move forward, we're actually kind of moving to what his successes are. And everybody, I believe, if you bear with me, look, we're having a technology thing because I think he ran out of battery. So if you'll – I tell you what, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to break real quick, and I'm going to go grab him because I think he's called in on another line. I don't recognize the area code. So with this, we'll be right back after these messages, and we'll have Alan back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm having a spectacular time. I hope that you are. This is a fun discussion. As I mentioned at the top of the show, to understand Alan Brown's character, he is a character. And what I like about this is he and I kind of came together, and I really like what he's doing here, and I really like the program that he's putting together because it aligns so much, basically, with everybody that we've had on the show. So far, we've referenced a Dopamine Show, two Barkley shows, a Deborah Burdick show, a David Teplin show, a Charles Parker show. David Gwork just kind of came on. We've done some things about talking about his machine mind mission, which is all about paying attention to what you pay attention to. It's just absolutely amazing to me how it all kind of comes together. And, Alan, what I want to kind of move towards, you figured your way through this, and you developed ADD Crusher. What was it inside of you, or how did this actually kind of come about? What motivated you to do it? And I'm having a hard time because this is such a broad question. So let me just back up. Tell me about how it came about, if you will.
Well, first of all, as you know, with so many of your clients, I'm sure, and David certainly knows, once you are diagnosed with ADHD, particularly as an adult, a big light goes off. And you go, oh, my God, now I understand so much about my life. But what I was at the time an advertising executive, and I still am, that was kind of struggling. I was working so hard, and it just seemed like everybody else was kind of blown by me. And mind you, I started my career 10 years after everybody else did, so I'm like, oh, I'm the old guy, and I'm, you know. But as soon as I was diagnosed properly treated, and then started to develop and work these strategies, I saw an incredible shift. I went from being an account executive making, you know, I don't want to talk about dollars here, but making, you know, low, would that be five figures or middle five figures, to within 3 years being a vice president, management director of the largest office of the biggest agency in the country and making, you used to say, a lot more money than that, and then going on to co-found a company, et cetera. That was this transition that fueled me. It was the opportunity to live the life that I really felt I deserved to live. I always thought that I was going to, you know, have the kind of life that I wanted. I just couldn't figure out where the heck it was going to come from. For a while, I was going to be a rock star. For a while, I was going to be a DJ. But for a while, I was going to be a banker. I have a degree in economics because I thought I was going to be an economist. I thought I was going to be a lawyer for a while. But I found my groove.
Yep, once you got your groove. So here, I'm going to ask you a hard question here, okay? What are you really good at?
I think I'm good at being enthusiastic about things. That may sound, you know, trite, but I'm good at passion, and I'm good at bringing people together, and I'm definitely, which is great for advertising, one of those right-brain, left-brain people. I can do the analysis, but I can also do the creative part of it, and I think you can see that in business, the videos where you have a very strong creative part of it, but it's also based in science and based in fact. So that'd be my guess. That is a tough question, though.
Yeah, can I insert my opinion here?
What?
When I'm working with people, what's interesting to me is we had Wilma Feldman on not too long ago. She's a career counselor, and I don't mean to offend career counselors, but they always talk about skills, knowledge, and experience, and I'm all about passion, modality, and talents. And talents is the most difficult thing to kind of pinpoint because they're so difficult to describe. But one thing that I've learned in coaching people is when you're really, really good at something, you don't know it. It comes so easy for you, you think everybody else can do it. And my analogy is, do you think a carnivore actually knows that it's a carnivore? I mean, think about it. It just reacts, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite things in working with people is when you stumble on something, I mean, literally, it comes so easy for them, they just think that everybody else gets it. And I'm going to tell you something. I haven't coached you at all. I haven't taught you at all. But what seems to come easy from my perspective for you is to take visual things and compact it down in simplicity to illustrate your point, which there's certainly some enthusiasm behind in the passion that drives that. But to me, and again, I'm not so sure I'm right, but there's this talent that I love your blogs because they're all visual, but they all relate to a point, and they take the concept and show it to me in a visual way. And there's so many visual learners out there that when you read a book, you know, when you read a book that's got no pictures and no pop-ups, you and I don't get it, right?
Exactly.
But other people do. And so I'm just kind of throwing this out there for two reasons. Number one is those out there with ADD, is the hard part about having it is it's difficult to recognize what you're really good at, because what you're good at comes so easy, like a carnivore just chases meat, because it's hard for you to recognize it. And what I'm hearing is that you stumbled into this, and you're really good, and you've been able to move yourself out of, you know, in my interest model, fool's interest, and really medicate yourself, if you will, with what your real passions are and what you're really good at. And what I am amazed at is this community that you've built on Facebook that is so visual, that's really built fundamentally on what you're really good at. And this is an observation from a distance. You know, maybe I'm not right, but it's amazing to me what you have done. So with all that said, I'm interested in your comments and feedback, particularly on the you're so good at you don't really understand it.
Well, I think you've actually, first of all, done a great analysis of me. I guess I think that's true. And by the way, that interview with Wilma was also – I already wrote a blog about that one. I'm going to post that next week. I swear, she touches on so many great things that put, you know, look, we've all heard these things, you know, follow your passion, do, you know, what, you know, you find what you're good at and you love doing. There's so much language around that it just kind of becomes claptrap. But the way she put it and the way you chimed in on it was really very powerful. But, yes, I think that too many of us just kind of act on remote control and just think, well, this is what I should be doing. And we have to take those blinders off and explore things and ask the tougher questions, which is what Wilma talked about, too. Ask the tougher questions about where our talents lie and where we're really going to be happy. And lastly, it is so true that I'm a visual, and I think a lot of ADDers are visual spatial thinkers. And I, for instance, think in PowerPoint. When I think up an idea, when I need to communicate something with someone, I sit down and I write it in PowerPoint. And you might be the same way. But once you find, you know, something like that, a talent for that or a proclivity toward that, you got to go with it, man. Go with it, follow it, and cultivate it.
Well, it's interesting because I don't have ADD, but I have dyslexia and learning disability, which is it's as much an issue as anything. And I've learned that I have to externalize some stuff, and I have to actually work with it. And right now, everybody out there, we're doing two experiments live that you're not aware of. Number one is LiveScribe is somebody I'm talking to, and I'm doing a pen cast right now because I have to do Facebook posts when this is over with, and I'm actually using the pen cast to kind of make notations, and I couldn't do it in theory. I actually have to apply it to see if it works. The other thing that's actually really cool is, hopefully it's still working, is I am videotaping myself as I'm having this conversation with Alan. He's doing the same because we're thinking about launching Attention Talk video. And if it comes out, we'll actually release this on YouTube, and you'll actually be able to see both of us as this thing is unfolding. But for me, I have to roll my sleeves up and I have to work with it and understand what kind of what's going on. I mean, the theory I can frame out, but I don't know how it's going to work until I really, really do it. And that goes back to sometimes when I'm reading a book, I got to have the pictures to kind of help see how it's all put together, because I'm a very much – when I learn, it's how is one thing related to another. And I don't know if David's still on the line, but – when I was going through the coaching academy, it was really intense because I had to get my arms around what was going on to understand it, to put it into a context. And while it's painful for me to learn, it's funny because when it's done, I really kind of put it together. And what I really like about what you've put together, Alan, and we're going to start moving to how it's actually put together, is how you've taken the visual type side and put this stuff and kind of compact it in a simplistic type form and delivered it in such a way that's as simple as I talked about earlier. Listen, it's time to go get the pencil and paper. If you don't hit the pause button and you simulate it for those people that are out there to say, hey, listen, it's time to kind of get up and get going. So I'm going to let you comment on my comments, and then I would like to talk about the actual ADD Crusher, how it kind of came about, what it's all about.
Well, I think that for a lot of ADDers, you know, a book can't grab you by the lapels. And we know that literally a movie or a video can't grab you by the lapels, but you can get a heck of a lot closer to that. And that's what we try to do. We try to reach out, grab you by the lapels, shake up, and say, come on, let's do this, man. Let's have some fun here. that is absolutely key. And that's another thing, too, by the way. You know, ADDers want to have fun. And, you know, if we can learn something in a fun way, we're going to learn it so much better. We're not the kind of people that can sit down and read a technical manual and go, oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yep. We got to have fun. So speaking of that, you know, I jotted down a few of the strategies. You know, after I kind of over time learned my four lessons that you could learn from the dark past, you know, I started to put together, all right, so if I did this pop-up book and what ended up being videos, of course, you know, what would be some of the strategies that have helped me the most? And I jotted down a few. I've got tons of them, but 10 of them are in the videos, but just five of them I'm just going to quickly outline. The first one is, and this is fundamental for anybody really, is it's called Feed Your Brain.
Uh-huh.
And I was showing up at the office every day with a brown bag with a donut in it. And that is just not a breakfast. And then when I did some research on it, I learned that, you know what, it's not only a lousy breakfast for anybody, it's horrible for an 80-year because we need protein. I know people who are both diagnosed and undiagnosed ADDers who are still chugging a Mountain Dew every morning because of the caffeine, but what they don't realize is that sugar is blowing up their blood glucose, and then they're crashing, and they just got to keep jacking that. You know, so feed you. You got to give yourself good stuff in your brain. Next is this nagging desire thing that I already talked about. where if you have really set out where you want to be in your life and where you don't want to be, that is a profoundly powerful thing. And I know David can speak to that big time, because you also, in doing that, you need to give yourself permission to proceed to that beautiful vision. The third one I'll touch on is shut up you mind. You know, I listen to audiobooks, as probably you do, Jeff. And one of the books that I've had for literally 16 years is Deepak Chopra's Seven Secrets of Spiritual Success, I think it's called. And I've been listening to it for 16 years, and I got so much out of it. I still get something out of it, because there's something in there that, oh, I didn't hear that before. But bottom line, what you learn is that the voice that's in your head, that's not you. That's your ego. And if you can shut that thing off, it is a great source of mental energy. And I won't go into any more detail than that, but that's actually way three in the videos. Another one is one that I actually just blogged about that I'm going to reblog because of the thing that I forget who was on your show talking about negative self-talk.
Deborah Burdick.
That was another one. I mean, the damage we do to ourselves with negative self-talk relates very well with Way 9, which is score your successes. And that means that we beat ourselves up because we don't count our successes. We only count our failures. And if you were to put those failures in healthier perspective and start to give yourself credit for successes, you would power yourself forward. And the last one is just taking risks. I've talked about this before here, so I won't beat the dead horse. But, you know, Halliwell talks about this very eloquently.
Yep.
When he talked about using your gifts and your talents and taking the right risk, et cetera. So those are some of the things that are at the top of my head, kind of, I thought those were some of the ones that really helped me drag me out of the abyss.
One of the things that's really interesting to me is when I went through coach training, part of it was CPI, which is just basic life coaching. They had this concept of the saboteur. And when you work with somebody, you actually kind of like, oh, I hear the saboteur showing up, and you actually help them understand who it is and name it. And when you're talking a second ago about the ego and all that kind of stuff, it's there all the time, but to realize it's there and to be a witness to it and then to be able to manage it goes back to that paying attention to what you're thinking, because it's the saboteur or ego or whatever is in your mind is absolutely amazing. And then the success stories – the score your success is interesting, because there's one of those concepts that I work with a lot of people is people don't know how to recognize what they do right. And a coaching technique is sometimes write down every day everything you did right. And you know, I brushed my teeth, I did this, and at first it's kind of like rote, but as they kind of go on, you start to recognize, wait a second, I did do this and did do this. And one of my favorite things, and we're going to have Dr. Noel on, I think, August the 1st, we booked him. How exactly did you do that? And we touched base on our show, and that is, how exactly did you do what you were successful at? And one of my favorite things is, if you're not organized and you call me and you want coaching on it, I'll say, call me next week. And if you show up on time, I go, you made amazing progress. And I said, well, how did you make this appointment on time? And most people don't know, because they don't know how to pay attention to what their success is. And what I like about your strategies here is it really makes a lot of sense and aligns with a lot of the theories, whether it's Deborah Burdick or Dr. Barkley or David Quirk or I list could kind of go on. It's just absolutely amazing how you figured all this stuff out on your own and you've put together this program that really works and speaks to it all. So it's kudos to you, man.
Thank you. Well, it did take a while, and again, there was at least a decade of doing some crazy stuff that helped fuel it.
And wrapping this up, Alan, any other words of advice or any other things that you'd like to share with our listeners?
It's also the idea that as much turmoil as our ADHD has caused us, it really is, if you view it the right way and you accept it, you can really use the tools that it can give you, not just the risk-taking gene, but also creativity, synaptic thinking, lateral thinking, that other people just don't do. And also, I'll refer again to David's Works great book. I thought it was so cool that you snuck him in here. Hey, David. Pretty awesome. he talks about giving yourself permission to proceed, to live your dream, to do things that ADHDers tend not to give themselves permission to do. And so I'll close with that thought.
Well, you know, Alan, I have to tell you, it's been an absolute thrill knowing you. I mean, I think I first recognized you in February, and it's accelerated. You're an amazing individual. You've accomplished an awful lot, and you're such an asset to the ADHD community. So everybody out there, he's got, if you go to ADDCrusher.com, he's got all that stuff, but he's also got the community that he's built at his Facebook page. And I encourage you to go, if you haven't done it, go like it. It's amazingly visual. It's very interactive. It's just absolutely phenomenal. And I think that he's earlier I asked him what he's good at. He didn't acknowledge it, but I think he has a talent for taking concepts and making them visual, which for many people is just the key to understanding. So, Alan, just thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. It's an honor to work with you.
Thank you so much, Jeff. And don't forget, your listeners should use promo code ATR15 to get 15% off any purchases. So, and thank you, and thank you to your listeners.
And they just go to ADDCrusher.com, and if they want to purchase something, there's a little promo code that they put that into, right?
Like ATR15, yep.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Alan. It's a great week. Everybody, thanks for listening to this edition of Attention Talk Row, and stay tuned next week. We've got some great programming that's coming up this summer, and we've got some real exciting stuff in the hopper for this fall. And we're overwhelmed with the responses that we're getting in, but keep them coming, because great ideas make great programs. So take care, everybody.